Lord's Day. And they say apparently more telephone calls are made today than on any other day. Because it's Mother's Day. And that's in one sense a good sign that there are so many calls made on this specific day. But it would have been great if we made these calls more often. And this morning I want to encourage you, if you haven't called your mother yet, please do so after the service. And if you're privileged enough to spend the day with her, please do that. And, you know, as I was praying about today, the Lord laid a number of scriptures on my heart, and I just want to share maybe one of the most familiar ones that actually says so much about our privilege and our responsibility and our relationship with our mothers and fathers. And today, as we think about our mothers, and today is the time that we come together to celebrate who they are and what they have done for us and what they continue to do for us, I just want us to reflect on God's heart towards our mothers and fathers and our responsibility towards them. And here in Deuteronomy 5 verse 16, we read a portion of the law that says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." It's interesting, this is echoed again in the New Testament. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." It's so interesting that in all the commandments, this particular commandment actually had a promise added to this commandment. And again, it's fascinating if you study the Old Testament just to see God's heart. And you know, I think in Bible school I mentioned, you know, one of the things that becomes so evident in the Old Testament, if you look at the character of God, is His heart for the marginalized, the poor, the helpless. You see, all throughout Scripture, God has a specific passion and a soft spot, if you may, towards the poor and the needy, the widow and the orphan. And that God keeps on commanding us to take care of them. And even in the law, we see this fascinating commandment that says that we must honor our mother and our fathers. And with that comes a promise. As you do this, you may have a long life and it will be well with you. And that's so important for us to note God's heart here and the importance of that. So this morning, I want to speak about how do we honor our mothers and fathers, since it is Mother's Day today. And we almost have a free opportunity to honor our mothers in this day. And I want to share around the Word of God about honoring our mothers and fathers. So how do we honor our parents? Well, as children, Ephesians 6 makes it very clear, as children, we need to obey our parents. One of the greatest way to honor your parents, and we don't have many children here, most of them are in children's church, and I see a few teenagers that, you know, smiles at me sheepishly because they're sitting next to their fathers. But one of the ways as children, while you're still young in your home, to honor your parents is to obey them. And I think as parents, most of us here in the hall now, we understand that. We understand what it means when our children actually listen to us. It's more than just obeying commandments or desires or rules that we set out for them. It actually reflects their heart towards us. The fact that they respect us, the fact that they acknowledge us. There's something powerful about honoring your parents. And more specifically in that context, there's something powerful in obeying your parents as you honor them. Because what you're doing by obeying them, you're actually esteeming them. You're actually saying, I value your word. I value your wisdom, I value your love to the extent that I'm willing to submit myself to that, to honor who you are and everything that you've given to me. So that's the obvious one. The obvious one is to obey our parents. But you know what? Then we marry and we leave home. And as we grow up and as we marry and we leave our mother and father and we cleave to our wives and our husbands and we start a new family, that relationship with our parents changes slightly, but they still remain our parents. So how do you honor your parents as grown-ups? Well, I think one of the first things I might mention is that our relationship do change when we leave home to marry. It does change. I mean, here in Genesis, we read that, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, the New King James says that he will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And it speaks of many things, as Ephesians also notes. But one of the important things about marriage is that our relationship to our parents changes, in the sense that we used to be absolutely under their covering, under their love, under their protection, under their counsel. But there comes a time where you come to age, where you form your own family. And the Word of God says something powerful. He says you must leave your mother and father and you must cleave to your wife or your husband. And I want to add this in as something for free about marriage. I think it's so important, especially for us who come out of a very close-knit family. For those of you who are not married yet and you aspire to do so. Is there anybody here that's aspiring to get married? Okay. Not the old guys, the young guys. Okay, great, great. I see there's some ladies that's still unsure, but we've taken note. We can pray for you afterwards. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You know what? When you get married, let's talk to the ladies. When you get married, you need to leave your parents. And you need to cleave to your husband. And what that refers to in one aspect is the fact that once you get married to a husband, he becomes the head of the home. Your father used to be the head of the home. Your father used to be the one that provided for you. Your father used to be the one that counseled and mentored you. Your mother was the one that comforted. Your mother was the one that nurtured. Your mother was the one that gave you the emotional support that you needed. But when you get married, you need to leave your parents. And you need to cleave somewhere else. Now, I'm saying that both for the young ones, but also for the parents here, who's going to give their daughters away. Okay? It's very difficult. I know it's easy for me. Mine's young. But I'm preparing myself for the day. You must let them go. Okay? You must let them go. And what that means, in a certain sense, you must allow the husband to now lead the family. You must leave your daughter to empower the son-in-law to be the head of the home. In other words, you must allow him to make the decisions. Okay? Ladies, when there's a financial crisis or a concern, please don't first run to your father and discuss your financial situation and ask his advice. Please run first to your husband and discuss it with him. If you together decide you need some wisdom, take him along with you to your father. Okay? But don't leave him at home. You need to leave. You understand this principle. You got to let them go, parents, okay? Fathers, mothers, when they come to you, ask them, did you first discuss this with your husband? If she says no, then you say, my child, I love you so much, but please first discuss it with your husband. Because he's now the head of you. We're still your parents. We still love you. But our role has changed to advisors, not rulers. Okay? So I'm throwing this in for free. I don't know why, but, you know, right. But so how do we show honor to our parents when we are grown-ups? How do we show honor to our parents as new families? And that is what I want to share about today. The first way we show honor to our parents and to our mothers, and I'm going to speak about mothers, and if I say mothers or parents, please forgive me, I'm going to speak about mothers, but you understand it includes our fathers. The first way to give honor to your mother on this day, I believe, is to give her acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. In other words, you give her a call today. If you haven't done so yet, please don't forget. Give her a call. If she lives in town, go visit her. Take her flowers, give her a sweetie pie, take her out for lunch, for dinner. But in doing that, you are acknowledging her. You are acknowledging her by spending time with her. That is very important. And please, don't just do it today. Okay? The Word of God says we must honor our mothers and fathers, not just on Mother and Father Day, but continually. So all these principles are not just for today, but today is a great opportunity to start, you know, because sometimes we feel embarrassed to change our habits or change our ways because we kind of feel exposed. How would I explain my change of behavior all of a sudden? Well, today you don't need to explain anything. You can just go and love your mother. You can go and acknowledge her by spending time with her. Okay. But also, I want to encourage you, whenever you have an opportunity, the way to honor your mother, is whenever there's an opportunity in public to honor her, to acknowledge her. In other words, when there is an opportunity in public, when you're with friends, or maybe you're visiting, or she's visiting, and you're having some great time with your friends at home, and your mother enters the room, a way of honor is to acknowledge her. You know what, in the old days, and the good old days, when Maria was still young, gentlemen used to stand when a lady came into the room. As a sign of respect, but more than respect, a sign of honor. It's a sign of honor. And what a beautiful habit it was. How did it make the ladies feel when gentlemen rose, when she entered into the room? There's something about honor that creates something within the recipient. It's something that is formed within the giver when we start to value and appreciate who they are. So I want to encourage you, you know, honor your mother. Look for opportunities in public when you're with your friends and your mother enter the room. I'm not saying you must stand up. If you do that, great. It will be great if you do. But start off by acknowledging her and introducing her. Say, guys, I just want to tell you, this is my mother. She is an amazing woman. She has given me life and everything that I have. That's a good thing to do. You are honoring her. So I want to encourage you, don't just give her a call today. Give her a call whenever you can, and especially in public, when you have the opportunity, look for opportunities to honor your mother and your father, to acknowledge them. I'm going to grow on this. It starts off with acknowledging them. This is my mother. Great woman of faith, of endurance, of love. And you can lavish her. Nobody can stop you because it's your mother. And you know what? In weddings, we're back at weddings. You know, ladies, guys, please. When it is your marriage, your wedding. When it's your wedding day. We have so few official opportunities publicly to honor our parents. Sadly, for many, it is on their wedding day and on their funeral. Please honor them while they're still alive. Sometimes we come to funerals and we hear these long speeches about how amazing the parents was. But when you go to a wedding, you know what? If it's your wedding day, you have the opportunity publicly. As a matter of fact, everybody expects you to say something. Please don't give it to your brother or your sister to make a toast on your mother. Please use the opportunity to publicly acknowledge and to thank them for everything that they've done for you, everything that they've meant. You can have a long speech, as long as you want, because it's your day. But I want to encourage you, if it's your wedding day, go out of your way to honor your parents, to thank them, to acknowledge them, to lift them up, to esteem them highly, to find all the good. And some of us had better parents than others, I understand. But you can find the good in what they've given you. As a matter of fact, the reason you are there today is because your mother gave you life. And she fed and nurtured you, and they cared for you, and they clothed for you. You will find good things to say, and find them and say them, and find as many as you can. And after you've honored your parents, I want to encourage you. I always say that to the young couples that comes to me for marriage. I say, now, after you've done that, please take the same opportunity and the same platform and honor God. Honor God. It's your day. God is... My wife said, I mustn't say that. We know God is alive. You have a relationship with Him. You speak to Him. You experience from Him. You've been given life because of His love for you. And He has imparted so much. When it's your wedding day, as you explain to people your relationship with your mother and your father, please make time to explain to them your relationship with God. Because two things will happen. Number one, they will see in the same way you honor your parents, you honor God. In other words, the same as they, your parents are real in your life, so is God in your life. And for the unbelievers, that is amazing. Because you speak to God in the same sense as you speak to your mother, your father, which is visible because you've got an invisible father that has given you so much. So I want to encourage you, if you're not married yet, but all these things goes for all the opportunities. Yesterday, we were at a 40th birthday party, and I see they're still recovering. They're not here. But what was so amazing about the speech of this 40-year-old man was after he'd honored all his friends and all his parents, he started to honor God, his father, in front of all his friends, influential and unsaved as they were. Some of them. Yes, there were saved people also. But there were very unsaved people as well. And he was so bold about speaking about God and thanking God in the same context as he just thanked his parents. What a powerful testimony. So I want to say to you, you don't just have to do it on your wedding day. Whenever there's an opportunity in a birthday, your birthday, their birthday, any gathering, say, I want to make a toast. Can I make a toast? When the family gathers together and all the uncles and aunts and nephews are together, why not stand up and honor your parents and say, hey guys, can I make a toast to my parents? I just want to honor them. I just want to say how amazing they are, how much they have given me. And I just want to say, Mom and Dad, I love you. And watch what the other siblings do after you've done that. Hopefully they'll be so inspired that they also say, yeah, I also want to say something. You know what honor does? It's kind of contagious. So I want to encourage you, don't just honor your mother and your father on Mother's Day and Father's Day, but look for opportunities to honor them, to acknowledge them. But I also believe we acknowledge them through their advice. Or should I say, accepting their advice, or at least listening to their advice. And I know, they grew up in the 30s and the 20s, and the 40s. And I know we live now in the 21st century. And I know sometimes their ideas and their thoughts might seem a little bit out of place. But one way to acknowledge and to honor your parents is to listen to their advice. Not just to stop them halfway. Not just to say, you know what, you're old fashioned. You don't understand life. Things have changed. No, many things have stayed the same. We wrap them differently. But one way to honor your parents is actually to listen to their advice. You don't have to apply it necessarily. I understand that. But at least listen to their advice. At least take it to heart. At least acknowledge, Mom, thank you for that insight. Thank you for that advice, Dad. We will consider it. We'll pray for it. It's challenging. It doesn't really make sense. But thank you. We will think about that. That's another way to honor your parents, through acknowledging them. So acknowledge their advice. I know, like Andre de Villiers always sings, you know about that age where children's relationship with us changed. You know, at a certain age, I think under 10, I'm not sure, mine is still at this stage where they think you are almost like God. You are all-knowing, all-powerful, you know everything. You know, my girl comes to me with all the questions in the universe. You know, how does this work? How does that work? How does this work? And whatever I say is amazing. So she'll ask me, how does the sun work? And I don't know, but I'll give her what I think. And she thinks that's amazing. And she'll ask me how this works and that works. And whatever I say, she comes to me with all the questions in the world. She comes to me because Father knows everything. And then at some point, apparently, I think it's around about 10 or so, maybe some of the teenagers can help me here. At some age, your father knows nothing. From knowing everything to knowing nothing. I don't know when it happens, but when you get to that age, please continue to listen to your father. Because he has lived life far longer than you have, and he has probably seen it all. So in our limited experience, we sometimes have a view of life. Please acknowledge your parents for the young ones here. That is looking to me very sheepishly. But I'm glad you're here. Listen to your parents. They've lived a long life and they've seen a lot of things. Acknowledge their advice. And you'll be wise to apply it. Another way to honor our parents is to give them appreciation, to give her appreciation. So I want to encourage you not just to acknowledge her by phoning her, but to actually speak appreciation. I've spoken about that. Thank her for all that she has done, what she's still doing. You know, that little word, I think in that video clip that Carmen played, that little word called thank you. Remember, that's what she taught you. Remember? She always said thank you. There's something so powerful by this, through this little word, by saying thank you. Not just when you visit and she prepares this awesome meal for you, but just saying, Mom, I just want to thank you for all your sacrifice that you've done for me and for us as kids. Oh, Mother, I want to thank you for that lesson that you learned me. Oh, Mother, I want to thank you, Lord, for the example that you set. Think of things that you can thank your mother for. Show appreciation. Don't just give her a call and say, Happy Mother's Day. How are you doing? It's great to chat to you. Kids are fine. I'm fine. Have a great day. But look for opportunities to show appreciation, to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you've meant for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the way that you have cared for us and provided for us. And thank her. It's another way to show honor. From time to time, I make an effort to thank my father for the life that he's given me. I make a point of it. Every time, and I don't see my father often, so it's maybe easier. But every time I see him, I go out of my way to look for an opportunity, and it's not difficult to find an opportunity as we're walking somewhere, talking, just to thank him, just to say, Father, I just want to thank you for what you've provided for me as a child and the environment that you've created and how you worked so endlessly and so hard so that I could have everything that I desired. Father, I just want to thank you for setting an example to me. And I can see how the tears form in my father's eyes. You know, just to hear that, you know what? Because one day my father, you know, he got baptized when he was 75. And he got spirit-filled. And you know, his whole life changed. And one of the things that he told me, he said, one of the things that he regretted in life, he said, you know what, my son, I so regret for not making more memories with you. I so regret that I didn't spend more time with you around God. And I could stop my father. I could stop him and I could say, Father, but you don't understand. You don't understand the life that you've given me. You don't understand the way that you love my mother and the way that you've provided for us and the way that you disciplined me and the way you were there always for me, how it shaped me as a man and gave me confidence in life. And because I know my father feels inside of himself that he didn't do enough and he could have done more and he should have done more, I make an effort every time I see him to tell him how much he did do. And it means so much to him just to hear it, that it was worth it. And that I received and valued and appreciated it. So I want to encourage you. Acknowledge them and show appreciation. It's a way to honor them. Another way is through affirmation. I think I'm going ahead of myself every time. But affirmation. It's so closely related to appreciation. But affirmation speaks about encouragement. It speaks about encouragement. One way to honor your mother today is to encourage her. Is to encourage her to continue this race that she's running. You know, to encourage her to say, you know, mother, you've been a good mother. You've been a good mother. And wow, mother, the things that I see in you today is what I long to have in myself. And mother, I just want to thank you for what you are doing, and what not just what you've done, but what you are doing, who you are today. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you that you're always there for me. I want to thank you that I can still run to you and know that you love me. And just to encourage them. Because encouragement is a way of honoring them. So I want to encourage you to encourage your parents, and especially your mother in this day. Encouragement is something so powerful. Because encouragement brings the best out of us. Have you ever been encouraged by someone? Where somebody comes up to you and say, wow, you know what? I just want to say, the way you speak to your wife is so beautiful. And when people encourages you, you know what it does? It actually makes us not just feel good, but it actually empowers us to actually do it more, doesn't it? When somebody says, wow, the way you train your children. I mean, who was it? Noridag. Somebody came to the parents of the two kids. This is Yaku. Where's Yaku? He's also recovering. No, I'm just joking. Sandra. No, she didn't play. No, they're not here. Okay, Yaku and Sandra. Some of the kids' church. I think it was you. Wasn't it? Yeah, yes. Somebody came to the parents to say, hey, I just want to say, you know what, your kids are so amazing. Your kids are so amazing in children's church. They teach me. It's so a blessing to be there. They know the word of God so well. So they're encouraging the parents. And what is the parents going to do? It was you, Greg, wasn't it you? Yeah. That encourages the parents. It's not just they just don't just feel good. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to be even more motivated to continue to train their children the way they should go. Because encouragement is so powerful, it actually empowers us to continue in good. So I want to encourage you to encourage your mother to continue in good. Because in encouraging her, you're empowering her to continue in what is good. And that's one of the ways we honor our parents, is to encourage them. But encouragement is powerful because it empowers. You know, Deuteronomy says something powerful here about Moses and Joshua's relationship, but more specifically, God speaking to Moses about Joshua, who's going to take over from him. And he says the following things. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there into the promised land. Encourage him, for he shall cause the Israelites to inherit the land. And then verse 28, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Do you see that? The Moses, the father figure, encouraging Joshua, the younger one. And through encouragement, he's actually empowering him to do the will of God. And I can say it works the other way around also, for us as children to encourage our parents, to encourage them to continue in what it does, because encouragement builds up, it strengthens, it empowers. You know what? We all know the power of teachers and parents when they speak over their children. When you see a good teacher, encourage the teacher. When you see how the teacher works with your child, encourage her. Because I can guarantee you, by encouraging her about the way she treats your child, will encourage her to continue, will empower her to continue to do that. So do the same with your parents. I think you get the point. Encouragement restores. And that's so powerful as well. In Judges 20, but the Israelites encouraged one another and took again up their positions where they had stationed themselves on the first day. You know what? Encouragement is so powerful. When we fall, when we lose ground, there's nothing more powerful than encouragement. When we encourage one another and say, you know what? You can do this. It's okay. It's all right if you fall. Don't worry. I'm there with you and you can do this. Encouragement has the power to actually get us back on the right track. It actually restores us. It actually gently nudges us. And I want to encourage you to encourage your parents. Encouragement strengthens our faith. Yeah, in Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 14, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, that we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end. But do you see that? It speaks about the very fact that if we fall, if we fail, if your parents go through a difficult time, or if they slip back, it doesn't matter what the circumstances is, but encourage your parents. Encourage them. Because through encouragement, you will strengthen them. You will restore them. You will empower them. So one of the most powerful ways to honor your parents is to encourage them. Find something to encourage them with. It brings unity. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And then, of course, verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we'll get to that later. But another amazing thing about encouragement is it brings unity. It brings unity. And the reason I'm making such a big deal about encouragement is, as we're talking about Mother's Day and as we're talking about the fact that we must honor our parents through encouragement, I also really just sense that God wants to establish a culture amongst us, a culture of encouragement. Because encouragement has so much power to build, to restore, to empower, and to move in the right direction. We sometimes fail to understand the value of that. So I want to encourage you not just to encourage your mother and your father. I want to encourage you to encourage one another. In the same way you would look for opportunities to encourage your mother, look for opportunities to encourage one another. Because encouragement builds, it doesn't destroy. Encouragement lifts up, it doesn't pull down. Encouragement empowers, it doesn't distract. Encouragement supports faith. And encouragement actually brings unity. So I want to encourage you to encourage one another. Look for opportunities to encourage. This is what this nation needs so desperately. In this nation, we are so quick to criticize. We get so negative so easily. One of the most important things that I believe that we need as a nation is just this culture, and culture of encouragement. You know, we can complain all day long about Eskom. Like somebody said, I really wanted to complain about it, but I have no power to do that. Now, we can complain about it forever and ever. Or we can encourage one another and say, you know what? That's actually not so bad. I actually enjoy putting on the candles, spending some quality time with the kids. Making fun of it. You know what? You can encourage one another. Say, you know what? It's not that bad. Or we can keep on complaining. But us as a nation, we need encouragement. We need this culture of encouragement. We need to encourage one another. And as we do that, we build, we strengthen, we establish unity and faith. So I want to encourage you to encourage one another. It builds up. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. You know, I always say it's easy to see one's weakness. It's easy to see weakness in someone else. It takes no skill to see weakness in somebody else. It takes a lot of skill to see potential and developing that into strength. But to criticize one another because of their weakness, that's easy. Rather, look for opportunities to develop the potential and the good in others through encouragement. Because that is far more fruitful. So too in our country. Encouragement should become a culture here with us. So, encourage your parents and one another. And then another way to honor your parents is to give them affection. We read it earlier. I know only Johnny or Umroni was excited about that one. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 12 says, give one another a holy kiss. Give her affection. Now, we're not going to practice this today. But one of the ways to honor your parents is to give her affection. Okay? To touch. To kiss. To hug. I know we are South Africans and we have our personal space. And it's very important, especially we whiteys. You know, we have a very, very conscious about our personal space. I was watching a netball game yesterday. And I noted the difference between the colored kids and the white kids. How passionately they play this game. And how effective they are. And then we see the little white girls, my girls included, when somebody is mocking her. It's not just that she's been mocked. It's like somebody's standing in my personal space. And this is very daunting. I don't know what to do because somebody's in my personal space. And I don't know how to deal with the fact that this girl is in my personal space. More than it is about passing the ball. But as South Africans, we have a big personal space. And I want to encourage you, get out of that space. Draw your parents into it. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. That affection is so powerful. As humans, it has such a great effect on us. They've done research about children, little babies, and the effect that newborn babies, the effect that they have when they receive physical touch, skin to skin. You probably heard that if you're still a young parent and all that, as opposed to little babies that had no physical touch at all. And the effect that it does have on them emotionally, but even in their cognitive development and in their capacity to relate as they grow up, affection, personal touch is so powerful. And I know in church, you know what, and in our culture, I know we shake hands. I know, Johan, I know this is the Afrikaner way. Mario can show you the Italian way. Okay, which is completely different. Okay, and I know for some it's a big step, you know, to go beyond this, but you know, affection is so powerful. When affection is done in love, it produces life. Okay, I'm not talking about affection in lust. I'm talking about affection in love. It produces something. You know, there's something powerful when I can give my brother a hug. You know, because I love him. And people can sense the difference. People can sense the difference. And the key to that is, you know, Jesus said, you know, and I don't want to preach on that, but, you know, when Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you must love one another as I've loved you, by this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And affection through love gives life. It gives life. I know in our culture, and especially us whiteys, you know, this personal space thing is very difficult. I know that, and I've got appreciation for that. Even in the charismatic culture, you know what, we have professional greeters out there in the door. You know, you've seen the professional greeters. They are trained for months to say hello. Okay. 4 months. I tell you, 4 months we've trained them. Some for years. Okay. They smile and they greet you by hand. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But there's a better way. Before we get to the Holy Kiss. If you're Italian, that's not a problem. Okay. But we just want to get to a place where, you know what, because of, you know, love is a choice. Love is a choice. Before it is a feeling, it is a choice. You choose to love somebody. Okay. God chose to love us while we were still sinners, enemies. Okay, and there's something powerful about love. If you affectionate towards somebody in love, it's the difference. You know what I always say? I go to some churches and their welcome teams are so well trained. I go to some conferences and they start to welcome you 2 kilometers before the entrance, and they all smile beautifully and they greet you and you see they're well trained. But then there's something else when somebody comes to you and they just give you a hug. Not because there's any motive behind it, but just simply because they really love you. They really care. And you can do it to strangers. You can, because love is a choice. Love is a choice. Another example. Another example. All you need to do, I'll show you a trick. I'll show you a trick how to do this. And I want to challenge our charismatic hugs. You know how the charismatic hug? We hug like this. let's show them. They can't see. You know our charismatics. You know how we hug. We do this. As a brother. And especially with the sisters as well. And it's like, I don't know. It's even more awkward. We like bum hug. You know? I call it the bum hug. Okay, that's what we do. We bum hug. But all you need to do is look the person in the eye. No, not yet. No, I won't kiss you yet. Step one, we work in phases, okay? We work in phases. Okay? We'll get to the kiss next year. You look somebody in the eye, and it takes a split second. The difference between a well-polished, "Hi, it's nice to have you here, welcome, come in." "Hi, it's not." The difference is a half a second, I choose to love him. And then I give him a hug. And the amazing thing is this guy feels the difference. You can feel the difference. You don't need to be afraid. You know the difference between a sincere, affectionate hug from a point of love and when it's not. You know the difference. Okay, so thanks. Thanks so much. So now I want us to... Sorry, I must get this out of my pocket. Because this year is all about putting it into practice, remember? Or do you want me to repeat those two verses again? You know it off by heart by now. Okay, great. So we're going to practice. So what we're going to do is we're going to play almost like rugby. Okay, you know the scrum. Okay. They keep them apart, and then they say, hold, hold, and then say, engage. Okay? So we're going to do exactly the same. Okay? Now wait, I'm going to explain to you the rules. You're going to stand up. You're going to face someone. Preferably, someone you don't know. But if it's very uncomfortable, somebody that you do know. It's okay? It's okay. It's practice. You're going to look each other into the eye. You're going to choose to love them. And then I'm going to say, engage. Then you're going to hug them. Okay, can we do? Don't run away. I see. No time for the keyboard yet. Okay. All right, everybody stand. Everybody stand. Face somebody you don't know. And if it's too bad. No, wait. Don't engage yet. Hold. Hold. Everybody, hold. Get somebody. Ask them their name if you don't know them. Hold. Okay, Look them in the eye. Eye contact. Choose to love them. Choose to love them. And engage. Engage. Wow. Wow. Do you see the difference between 5 minutes ago? Sit, please sit. Affection in love produces life. It produces life. It produces life. One of the ways to honor your parents is through affection. If your father never kissed you, go kiss him. Go kiss him in love. Don't kiss him to freak him out. He's going to be freaked out anyway. Just go kiss him on the head or on the cheek. Just affection. It's so powerful. Physical touch. Do it in love. Choose to love them and give them affection. That's a way to honor them. It produces life. No wonder Jesus said, by this the world will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another. So I want to encourage you, don't do the bum hug. Just do the real thing, man. And when everybody gets it right, Ronnie will teach us how to give the holy kiss. We'll get there. Okay. The next way is to give her attention. Make time. Give her attention is not just about time, because mine's apparently up. It's also about providing for her needs. Honoring your parents is about acknowledgement. It's about appreciation. It's about affection. But it's also about giving attention. It's about providing in the needs of our parents. The Bible has much to say about caring for the elderly and for other family members who are not able to care for themselves. You know, as Christians, we have families and more specifically family members in need. The Bible says that we must take care of those needs. We have an obligation to our family. Especially our own family. Unfortunately, caring for parents in their old age today is no longer an obligation. People no longer understand that, no longer believe that, they no longer live that. You know, sometimes it's so easy just to put our parents in a nursing home, sometimes against their will. Sometimes that's not where they want to be, but it's more convenient for us to put them in a nursing home or an old age home. And I know at some point, it becomes difficult physically and medically. I mean, that's a different story. It's a different story. Some of our parents, like my mother, some of you met her, she wants to be in an old age home because she manages one. She can't wait to be just a normal tanny in the old age home. You know, some of our parents want to be with their peers. They want to be in old age homes. And I'm not saying you must take them into your house, but I'm saying you must take care of their needs. You must be sensitive to their needs. And we have an obligation to take care of them. We have an obligation. We are called to honor our parents, to care for them. So we have a responsibility toward our parents. To sit down with them and to hear their heart and to see what their needs are and how can we meet their needs. And not forget the fact that when we were young, when we were incapable of taking care of ourselves, they sacrificed everything for us. And now that they're getting older and they're getting incapable of taking care of themselves, we have an obligation to return that responsibility towards our parents. So So many times, unfortunately, elderly are seen as burdens rather than blessings. Their life of experience and wealth. Look, I grew up and I have to honor Mario and Celeste for taking in their mother. It's not always easy. I was privileged enough to grow up with my grandmother. My folks took my grandmother in. And she lived with us for most of my young adult life. And what a blessing it was to me as a child growing up with my grandmother. We have a responsibility to take care of their needs. Sometimes we are so quick to forget the sacrifices that they made for us. We honor them by caring for them, by caring for their needs. And we're not only honoring them by caring for their needs, we are serving God as well in the process. Because that's God's heart. I mean, here in 1 Timothy, it's such a challenging scripture, but it brings across God's heart. He says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and their grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. And then verse 8, if anyone does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do we have a responsibility toward our parents' needs? Yes, we do. And God expects us to take care of them because that's how He created the order of life. When we were young and helpless, they took care of us so that now that we are enabled, we can take care of them. And not only are we honoring them by doing that, we are also honoring and pleasing God. So I want to encourage you on this Mother's Day, honor your mother and father by not just giving them a call, by looking for opportunities to acknowledge and to show appreciation and affection and to take note of their needs. If they're in an old age home, to make sure that they are cared for well and that all their needs are met. And if they're in a nursing home and if they are sick, to see how you can help, to encourage and support them, because that is what God has called us to. So today I want to encourage you, when you make that phone call, don't just say Happy Mother's Day, but really extend your heart. Open your heart wide to your parents and honor them. Honor them. Find ways to bless them. And to take care of them. Because in doing so, you are not just honoring them, you are honoring God. And you are pleasing God. So today, go make this Mother's Day a special day. Go love your parents. Go honor them. Go care for them. Go encourage them. Go support them. And continue to do that every day. So that Stelcom gets its finances up and we get better service. No. No. So that God can be honored. That God can be honored in the way we honor our parents. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. God, we want to thank you for our parents. God, we want to thank you for the love and the care that we received, even though imperfect, even though ignorant at times. Lord, we want to thank you for the parents that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us, Lord, to honor them for all the sacrifices that they have made. And even for those who didn't do so, Father, that we will return with them, not anger and resentfulness, but Father, that we will return to them with love and respect and honor, so that you may be glorified. God, I pray that as we honor our mothers in this day, that it will be different than ever before. God, I pray for our parents and our mothers, Lord, to be esteemed, to be valued, to be honored, to be loved, to be touched, to be cared for. Father, I pray that in our celebrating our parents and our honoring our parents, Lord, you will be celebrated and honored. God, I pray that you will enable us to love the way you love us, to love them. And God, I want to thank you for this. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you say that as we honor our mother and father, that you will bless us and that it will go well with us and that we may enjoy a long life on the earth. Thank you, God, that there is an inherent blessing from you as we honor our parents. And God, so I speak, Father, over each and every one of us. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will send us out from this place with an expectation to honor. And I thank you, God, as we do that, you bless us so that it will go well with us and that we may have a long life. So, God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you bless as we obey. And, God, I pray for rich blessings from this day on, a new dimension of life and fullness through a simple act of love and respect. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming.